We want to welcome you here this morning. We're so glad that you're in the Lord's house today. It's good to come and worship the Lord together. Whether you are here in person, whether you're out in the parking lot on the radio, whether you're listening from a home that's real close, or whether you're on the website later this afternoon, we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us. We're glad for every person that's visiting with us. We pray that you're blessed as you come into the Lord's presence today. Let me make one little announcement before I pray. Talking with my sister-in-law this week, and of course we did the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes last Christmas, and she tells me that people have ordered 400,000 shoeboxes online, and they are scrambling over the Samaritan's Purse Center to get those packed and out of here by middle of June. And so she and some ladies from West Albemarle have just went over this week and said they worked 3 hours. She said, you go around and around and around filling up boxes for 3 hours, you're just worn out. Mm-hmm. So if there are any of you that would be interested in going and working for a three-hour shift, she says, get online to the Samaritan's Purse website, and you can volunteers, and they can fill in all the details. So you know your schedule, you know what you are capable of doing, you know whether you can stand up and walk around at the tables for 3 hours, but they could use some help. Now, praise the Lord that folks have donated all of these. And from what I understand, you've got a list, and you just walk around and put things in the box. So if you're interested in doing that, just get online, and they'll be glad to hear from you. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house, to know you, to love you, to serve you, to thank you for all of the blessings that are ours. And Lord, we thank you that you've joined us here, where two or three are gathered together. Jesus said he's in the midst. And so we're so glad that you're here. We don't have to invite you. You're here. You came in our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that today as we worship you, as we honor you, as we pray, as we study your word, the Spirit of the living God might touch every heart. You know where we are, Lord. Spiritually, emotionally, in every situation. Lord, I thank you that you're such a great and a mighty God that if we need encouragement, you can encourage us. If we need challenge, you can challenge us. If we need teaching, you can teach us. If we need strength, you can strengthen us. If we need guidance, you can guide us. And so we just welcome your presence. Lord, we thank you for all that are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. How good to see you all this morning. It's always a pleasure to see you. I want a special welcome to our visitors this morning. If you're here and you're a visitor with us this morning, and the Robinson family are with us this morning, we do thank you for coming, and we welcome all the visitors this morning. It's so good to see you. As always, we're going to start off with a hymn sing, and we want to sing a good old traditional, good old hymn of the church. And so we're going to do Heaven Came Down this morning. We'll do all three verses. Now, the words will be up on the board for you back here behind me around. And so we'll just stand and let's all sing together. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. It's a beautiful song about salvation. And I'm wonderful, so glad we are Christians today. Let's sing Heaven Came Down. Kathy.
Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled. soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took up the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I have hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. I believe riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
And all the people said, amen. Amen. Welcome somebody. We'll turn around and say good morning to somebody this morning. All right, I have a few announcements for you this morning I wanted to share with you. One thing I want to be sure we get on the docket is the graduation Sunday, and it's something we haven't talked about a lot, but I want to go ahead and we schedule graduation Sunday. I've talked with some folks this morning for June the 6th, and we'll recognize the graduates. I think, Kathy, we have a couple maybe that we need to make sure that we do. Plus, if there's ones that we don't know about, please let us know that too, and we'll make sure that's done. We'll also want to make sure Gary wants to meet with all the building and grounds right after service, and I know we'll have another meeting right after service too, because my next announcement will be that all you teachers, all the teachers of the classes, before you go that way at the end of the service, you need to come here and meet with Brother Kenny, our Sunday school superintendent. And what we're going to be talking about is starting our Sunday school back up. And COVID has really kept us from that over a year, as you well know. And we're about ready to say to COVID, get out of here. Okay? Can I have an amen to that? Amen. I'm just about sick of it. Matter of fact, that's not even a good way of putting it, is it? But I'm tired of it. How's that? Just tired of it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do things and do the right way either. And so you still, if you feel comfortable with a mask, you wear your mask. That's perfectly fine. We want the people to come and be and worship and be comfortable worshiping. That's what we want to be able to do. So remember, teachers, please, right after service today, come down and meet with Brother Kenny. There also a good news too, our pastor over here is going to start back where our Wednesday night services, and our Wednesday night services will start back. Our Bible study will be starting back June the 2nd, right? June the 2nd at 6:30. So come and let's be a part of that. Let's support it, because it's going to take you to make it work too. So please come and let's support these efforts. We will have a guest speaker here on the Sunday the 23rd, and that guest speaker will be here to help a pastor search committee of Centerview. And we talked about that already. We've announced that already. But that he will be here speaking and preaching for the benefit of that pastor search committee. Okay? Now, the Baptist men is sponsoring a barbecue. And I think all of you are still out there selling tickets. And we still got some. But I'm not going to use this to sell in tickets this morning. But I do want to make sure that you understand how to fill these out and what to do with them when you sell one if you get a ticket. This little stub on here is important to Jeff K. up there, because it tells him how many we've sold. And so when you sell one, if you will, just put a name on there and the amount and turn it in with the money to me or him or anybody, any of the Baptist men, and make sure give this big ticket to the people you're selling to, because when they come through the drive-through, all they have to do is give that ticket to the person at the drive-through, and they will get their Boston butt and also the chicken. Now, the chicken, Brother Jeff, I'm going to let you announce how you want to handle that. I mean, it's just a matter of turning it in and say, I want how many halves I want, and it's going to be four. It's $4, is that right?
$4 a piece. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, this is a Baptist men benefit that we'll do, and this is used to help those and less fortunate than we are or in some other cause. So that's what this money will be going for. So be sure to help support that too. Okay. That's all the announcements I have. Does anyone have anything you want to add this morning? Well, we don't have to.
Well, I mean, I just want to.
Yeah, no, just turn the stub in so he'll know how many to order, and you can turn the money in whenever you wish. Yeah, we trust you, Janice. Your credit's good. I know where you live. No, I'm teasing. You know, you just take your time with that. But didn't you turn the stub in so we'll be sure to cook enough? And that's that. Okay. Anybody else? Anywhere? All right, let's go to our prayer request. And this morning we have several prayer requests that I have, and I want to share with you. Josh Honeycutt has personal issues, and we need to remember Josh. Karen Linker had surgery Thursday, and Rita tells me she's doing fine and doing very well. So we thank God for that praise report, and thank God for that, for she is. Tammy Harville, that's my daughter-in-law. She has COVID, and she's really struggling. She really is. I mean, she's had now going on 2 weeks, and she's not getting any better. And so we're just really worried about her, tell you the truth. But we're going to put her in God's hands, and that's what we do. We pray for her every day. But you lift her up, if you would, please, and do that. Wes, one of our men at top this morning, is not feeling well this morning. He's under the weather. So let's remember Wes. Our technicians are so important. They kind of make us sound nice, Pastor. And so without them, we're kind of in trouble. So we thank you. But Jeff, thank you up there soloing this morning up on the catbird seat, and we thank you for being up there this morning. So let's remember Wes, Barbie, this morning. Now, are there others that I need to put on the prayer list this morning? Yes, Will.
I have a friend who is slowly straying away from God, like James is.
Okay.
He's not really my friend, but I just know I've overheard his conversations. That's where I'm not.
All right. Okay. So
I don't know his name.
That's all right. So you're concerned about his salvation, and he needs the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. You pray for him, and we will too, okay?
Okay. I like to Sue Totten.
Sue?
Totten.
T-O-T-T-O-N. Okay.
She's in ICU. She has cancer.
Okay. Sue Totten. Okay. Sue Totten. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, so much for an opportunity we could be in your house today and worship in your name. And then, Lord, as we look out and we look at the numbers that are here this morning, we're so thankful that they got up this morning and decided to prioritize their time and be in the Lord's house for worship. We thank you for them, each and every one that are here today. But then, Lord, we also know that there's those that are hurting. There are those that need healing. There are those that need a touch from you. And we want to add those, Lord, to this morning. We believe in being specific and calling their name. And, Lord, we pray for Josh Honeycutt as he has personal issues this morning that you understand and you know. We thank you for Karen and her. The surgery turned out successful and she's doing better this morning. We thank you for the praise. But Lord, I pray for my daughter-in-law, Tammy, as she is battling the COVID. We lift her up to you, Lord, and we pray for her healing. We ask a special blessing for Wes Barbie this morning, who's under the weather this morning. We lift him up to you. We pray for Sue Hutton this morning, Tutton this morning. We pray for her, Lord, as she's battling cancer. We pray for healing for her body. And then Will's friend, who is, Will's concerned about him and salvation. Lord, we pray, Lord, that he will hear and react and make the decision, we pray. Now, Lord, as we go forward today in this service, we thank you for our pastor, Pastor Ed. We thank you for him. We pray a special blessing upon him in this service today. And then also, Lord, we want to pray, Lord, for our church as we continue to move forward, as we're thinking, or as we're moving forward for Sunday school, starting our Sunday school back up. Lord, we pray for each teacher who will be a part of that. And then, Lord, later on, as we look at our choir and start our choir back too, Lord, we thank you for each member and those that will come. And then, Lord, we ask a special blessing now upon this service as a whole as we go forward today. And these special blessings, Lord, we'll always give your praise to, because we pray this prayer in your name. Amen. Miss Tonda, if you would please. We're going to ask Tonda to come this morning and share with you in song. And Tonda's always been a blessing to us, she and Kathy both, as they do other solos for us in special music. Until we get that choir going again, Tonda, you can still sing then too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we're
going
to be excited about the choir.
All right. All right, Miss Tonda.
We're excited to see Leonard home. So yes. Leonard texted me Tuesday?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah. Tuesday. And when I replied, he said, because, you know, that's when our gas shortage began on Monday. And he said, I'm hoping to be home if I can find gas to get from Tupelo. Home. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, this could be interesting. And I said, well, and of course he said, and God's in control. And I said, and God will make a way. And I said, oh, okay, so I might just sing that song Sunday. I just answered two things here. God will make a way to get you home, and he did. Amen. And we're so thankful. And God will make a way. I sang it on the front porch during the summer last year, sometime another. And Jeff Wesley sent me a link. Did he send you the same one to play my song? Well, I was fixing to just pull it out of my pocket and say, okay, well, we'll do a cappella or something again. Okay, so however. But God will make a way. It's a beautiful song. It says a lot to each of us, and certainly it's repetitive. Sing it with me. We got a good crowd out here, so help me out. That'd be great. Okay. And I can hardly see this.
Thank you, Ms. Tonda. He will indeed make a way, I can guarantee it. Children, we dismiss now. And Ms. Shelby, if you will, our visitors back here, I don't know how many of those would like to go for a children's church, if you'd like to go at all. You don't have to. So Anna's shaking her head no, so that's all right, Ms. Shelby. All right, children, you're dismissed.
And thank all of you children for the... They made me so many cute birthday cards last week in children's church, and little posters and everything. And they didn't put my real age on there, and that's good.
39.
Our scripture this morning is going to be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5,
We'll get there in a moment. First Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, sometimes you hear someone say, things just don't add up. And truly they don't, in a sense, here in America. Depending on who's taking the survey and when they take the survey, a vast majority of people in America say, I believe in God. And historically, at least half of the people in the United States say, I identify as a Christian. That number maybe has dropped a little bit in recent years. But a lot of people say, I think of myself as a Christian. And yet, why all the immorality, vulgarity, hatred, violence? Why all of the things that aren't Bible Christianity? It just doesn't add up. Perhaps after you ask people, do you identify as a Christian? The next question we might ought to ask them is, why do you think you're a Christian? And some would say, well, I'm a member of a certain church, a certain denomination. Some would say, I've been baptized, maybe as an infant. Some would say, like a relative said to me years ago, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Some would say, I try to treat everybody good. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But church membership doesn't make us a Christian.
Amen.
Keeping the Ten Commandments doesn't make us a Christian. What makes us a Christian? Christianity is more than what we do. Christianity is more than what we say about ourselves. Christianity is more than church membership. Christianity is more really than a religion. Christianity, truly the Bible kind of Christianity that's going to get us into heaven, has to do with a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the sort of the middle of this chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Paul says Jesus saves us to deliver us from the wrath of God. Jesus saves us so that we might live with him. Jesus saves us for our relationship with him. It's a life-changing encounter with the risen Lord. The Lord that came, he lived, he died, he was crucified, he rose again. And we have an experience with him, whereby he comes and lives within us as we acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. And I cannot save myself. I'll never be good enough. I'll never do enough. I'll never give enough. I'll never be anything but a sinner unless Jesus saves me. And so I come and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord and he is the Savior. And I invite him into my heart. And notice that last phrase there, Whether we live, wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we are alive or dead, Jesus lives in us. We're with Jesus, Jesus with us. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to live within us makes all the difference in the world. You see, we can call ourselves a Christian. We can say, I identify as a Christian. But unless we've had a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know the Bible talks about it being born again, becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus, Christ living in us, whichever term you want to use, all of them are valid. But unless we've had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to have it. We're not going to make heaven. We can say, I'm a Christian. And see, the sad thing is, probably a lot of those folks who say, I identify as a Christian, they may speak a few Christian words, they may go to a church, but they don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and he comes to live within you, some changes are going to happen.
Amen.
There are going to be a lot of changes. I thought about it this morning. You know, you invite an interior decorator to come live with you, they're going to say, those curtains are getting a little ragged. You need to replace the curtains. Paint's peeling. You need to repaint the wall. And when Jesus Christ comes in, we've got the same old body, but he begins to renovate us. He begins to make a difference. His life becomes real in us. And in the rest of this chapter, he mentions 18 or 19 different things that are different about us when we really are born again. Now see, if I preach 10 minutes about each of those 18, that's 180 minutes. We'll be out by 2 o'clock. Y'all know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. Let's look at some of them. In the first 7 verses, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when you shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Jesus said, that person who's been born again has a constant awareness that Jesus could come at any minute. We live with the awareness at any moment the trumpet of God could blow and we could be gone. Jesus could come at any moment. And you know, you just live totally different when you're expecting Jesus. I'll give you a silly little example. It didn't have anything to do with expecting Jesus, but it'll make the point. Yesterday afternoon, my sweet wife worked out in her flower bed. I watched a little bit of golf and we had leftovers for supper. No big deal. Now the Saturday before, we did some vacuuming and cleaning the bathrooms and some dusting and spent several hours cooking a good meal. Why? We was expecting Reverend Jim and Janice Hopkins to come to supper. I mean, we're expecting company. We're going to get ready for company. And if you live expecting Jesus to come, you're going to live different. I mean, you know, if he can come at any moment and he's just given me some instructions to call someone, to witness to someone, to make a gift, to send a card or whatever, I want to be doing it. if Jesus could come at any moment. I don't want to be saying things, doing things, being involved in activities that I wouldn't be doing if Jesus were to suddenly show up. Now, let me ask you a question. You say, oh, now, preacher, I just can't control my temper. Let's pretend you're telling your wife off or your husband off. You're screaming. And you see a policeman come walking up the walk. Wouldn't you calm down real quick? Or maybe if you see the preacher coming up the walk, you can control it. And see, with the idea that Jesus could come at any moment, I'm going to live different. And then notice also there, he says in verse 6, let us watch and be sober. And again in verse 8, but let us of the day be sober, self-controlled, clear-headed, alert, calm, wise. Doesn't mean you don't have fun. You enjoy yourself, you enjoy others, you enjoy the Lord. But at the same time, there's a seriousness. Don't have time for foolish things that don't pertain to the walk with God. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, the breastplate of faith, we put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice that's a choice. I can live in love or I can live in hate. I can be like those priests that walk by that poor beaten man, the priest and the Levite, or I can be like the Good Samaritan. I can walk by in hell. I have a choice. I can put on love or I can not put on love. I can live in faith or I can live in fear. I can live in faith or I can live in doubt. I can trust the Word of God or not trust the Word of God. He said, put it on, and I can live saved or I can live lost. Verse 11. Comfort yourselves together. Comfort one another. Comfort one another. And he also says, edify or build up one another. Support one another. All around us. All around us. People are hurting. All around us. You know, because Pamela and I have been a part of several churches, it's amazing how many phone calls, texts, Facebook things that she gets from people that are hurting. I could take the rest of this preaching time just to tell you stories from this week. People are hurting. They need our comfort. They need our support. And at the same time, there are times that we need their support. You know, any one of us, even some of the teenagers, get out here in the parking lot and we see somebody tottering and about to fall, we'd reach over and want to grab their arm and say, lean on me, let me support you. Well, that's not only a physical thing, that's a spiritual thing. We need to support one another. Not be callous toward one another. Jesus is going to make that difference. Verses 12 and 13, he talks about supporting your
your leaders. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know, that's pastor, evangelists, prophets, teachers, could be deacons. But you know, people that are minister to you, honor them. Then he goes on to say, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. What does that put in your mind? The unruly. Probably a lot of different things come into your mind as you think about the unruly. One idea means the person that's not at their battle station. Can you imagine if you were on one of those destroyers? You're out in the middle of the ocean and you get attacked. And you're there at your gun. And your shipmate's over there sitting in the deck chair and with his sunglasses and his bathing suit on and flip-flops. You can say, come on, buddy. Don't you see those enemy planes coming? He says, warn the unruly. Picture that popped in my mind, I had the experience of doing some substitute teaching. And of course, the kids are supposed to, when they're out in the hall, they're supposed to be in line and keep their hands to themselves and be quiet. And you'd go and you'd meet one class as you came down the hall and they'd be like a bunch of little soldiers. One right behind another, they're just so quiet. And then you'd meet another class and it's like those kids were a bunch of fans rushing the basketball court after you've won the national championship. They all over the hall and all over each other and teacher said, Johnny, get back in line. You know, they need correction. And you know, sometimes a Christian gets out of line. You read in the Bible where Paul had to admonish the Apostle Peter for getting out of line and had to admonish the Corinthian Christians for some sin they were tolerating in their church. Sometimes we need correction. And Paul says here, warn them. Sometimes people have a bad attitude. And they need to be admonished. They need to be exhorted. I hope all of you will take to heart the thing I wrote for the newsletter this week. It's serious business. How we treat one another in church. How we love on one another in church. Then he says, be at peace with yourself. Verse 13. I skipped that one. Be at peace with yourself. Some churches, there's great peace as the folks share love with one another. Some churches, it's war zone. I remember one of the first churches I went to as an interim pastor back when I first started preaching. Church, you know, about this size and center aisle like this one. And I walk in and folks are sitting over here like... And the folks that are sitting over here... And I found out they didn't like one another. There wasn't any peace. And I remember, she was just my girlfriend back in those days, but I went home and said, that's the coldest, deadest church I've ever been in my life. No peace. What's the old, give me that old time religion? Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Now, not everybody live at peace with you. Paul says in another place, as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all men. Some folks just aren't going to live at peace. But you can be in peace. You can hold no animosity, no hate, no unforgiveness, even if they won't love you back. He said, live at peace. Then he says in verse 14, comfort the feeble-minded. Now, we usually think of that as somebody who's a lack of brain power, but really it means the faint-hearted. The faint-hearted. The shy. Those of you that sing solos. I bet the first time somebody tried to get you to sing a solo, you said, no, I can't do that. First time somebody asked you to teach a Sunday school class, I can't do that. First time somebody asked me to preach, no, I don't think so. Back in those days, I was, now sometimes I move around, but back in those days, I was sure glad for a good solid pulpit. I wouldn't have been able to preach behind a stand like that, like some preachers do, because my knees were knocking. He says, encourage, comfort the faint-hearted. Those who need spiritual courage, lift them up. And then he talks again about supporting the weak. And then he talks about being patient toward all men. Now, boy, that's hard, isn't it? I'm one of those people that I want patience and I want it yesterday. And it's been a struggle. I've had to grow in that. And I am not perfect yet. But patience, because there are people that will try your patience. What's the expression? They just get on my last nerve. You heard that before? But you see, Jesus in us. Now see, all of these things are not things that we manufacture on our own. All of these things are things that Jesus does in us as we are born again and born from above and he begins to come in. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. I'll get even with him and it's the last thing I do. You ever said that? Heard that? No. One of the signs of the last days, if you go back and study your scripture, is people taking offense. Quick to take offense. And so it is that we need to be aware that we don't try to get even, that we forgive. What was it, Stephen, as they were stoning him to death? What was it that Jesus said as they crucified him? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. That's a person that was loving even in spite of someone hurting them. He talks about being good. Being good. He said, be good among yourselves and to all men. Be good to your fellow church members. Be good to those who are not Christian. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Live a life of rejoicing, a life of prayer, a life of thanksgiving. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know, for Paul, who was beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned, stoned, whipped, to say, rejoice. Rejoice, win evermore. And everything give thanks. I think about Paul and Silas there in that prison, middle of the night, there in the innermost prison in stocks. And all of a sudden, they're singing praises and they're loud enough that the prisoners can hear them. That takes the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then he says, despise not prophesying. Well, no, go to first. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. If God's speaking, don't shut him off. Don't shut him off. And then he says, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. If you hear a word of prophecy, check it out. Make sure it's right. If it's right, hold to it. If it's wrong, ignore it. Then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. He didn't say just abstain from evil, but he said abstain from all appearance of evil. When Vice President Pence was elected 4 years ago, he said he did not eat alone with any woman but his wife. And they ridiculed him. But he was avoiding all appearance of evil. When the Billy Graham organization started years ago, they made a vow and a commitment among themselves, Billy Graham, George Beverly Shea, Cliff Barris, and the others. We will never get on an elevator alone with another woman that's not our wife. We won't be in other compromising situations. And you know, from what I've read, they've tried to set those guys up, especially Billy Graham, a few times. By sneaking a woman in his motel room. But when they opened the door, all the photographer could see was Billy and about four or five of the other guys. He avoided all appearance of evil. And that makes a difference. And the end result of a life that's changed by the Spirit of God is found in verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, we're a three-part being. We're a spirit. Your eternal spirit's going to live forever. You're a soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. And you live in a body. And he says, whenever you're holy, whenever you are born again, and Jesus begins to work within you, your spirit, your inner man, your mind, will, and emotions, all of it will be preserved, you'll be sanctified, set apart, and you'll be preserved until the moment Jesus comes, and God's going to do it. He says, God's faithful to do it. God's faithful to do it. You see, there are people that try to do good with their body and sort of train their mind a little bit, but that inner man is not changed. It's just like putting a new paint job on a car with a damaged engine. But if Jesus comes in and begins to transform us from inside out, over a period of our lifetime, we're going to be different.
we're going to be different. I began by saying things don't add up. A lot of people say they're Christian, but you don't see it. You don't see what you need to see in their lives. And I know we grow at different rates. Some grow faster than others. But we ought to be growing. And if Jesus truly lives within us, we're going to be growing. And he's going to be sanctifying us, spirit, soul, and body. He's going to be making a difference. I pray that every person here that's old enough knows Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I pray that you've truly had that born-again experience. And I pray that you're growing in your relationship with him and with others. How does the old song go? Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that right now. We're going to have just a moment of quiet music. If you need to come to the altar and just talk to the Lord about something, we invite you to come. If you have something you want to share with me, we invite you to come. Father God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful possibility of the life-changing experience we can have with Jesus. And I pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus, all of us know you. And Father, I pray that we allow Jesus to do his work in us, so that we live with the expectancy of your return. We live at peace and love with those around us. We support those that need our support, and we allow those that need to support us to support us. And Father, we thank you that we don't do it in our own strength, but it's the power of God in us that makes all the difference. That it's you who sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body, and preserve us blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, how we await earnestly, eagerly, for your return. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord be gracious unto you, and make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, Building and Grounds Committee meet with Gary. Teachers meet up here with Kenny.